43 miners who've been trapped in a copper and gold mine for the past 17 days. A message written by the miners saying they were alive reached the surface after they managed to tie a note to a drill being used to search for them. The wrecks of three Royal Navy ships, which sank when they hit mines off the Baltic coast after the First World War, are reported to have been located. The Estonian Navy says remains of the three vessels, HMS Cassandra, HMS Myrtle and HMS Gentian, have been found off western Estonia. And the weather, it'll be a very windy day with heavy showers for most parts of the country. Southern and central England should become drier by the evening. And that's the BBC News and Weather. Now on Radio 3, it's time for Proms Chamber Music, live from the Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Louise Fryer.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall and the sixth of our chamber music proms. Today, a wonderful opportunity to be seduced by some of the richest, most erotic vocal music of the Renaissance, settings of the biblical Song of Songs from composers across the whole breadth of Europe, from the North Sea to the Mediterranean, performed by the young British group Stile Antico. The poem, or collection of poems known as the Song of Songs, is supposed to have been written by King Solomon around 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. The early church promoted its message as an allegory for the love between God and his people. In medieval times, the Virgin Mary was seen to embody the church, and the poem was used in Marian liturgies. But as the poet expounds on the joys and sorrows of his relationship, there's a very human dimension. As far as the physical side goes, he can be pretty frank, with words which, if your Latin's good enough, could make you blush. It's hard to know whether Renaissance composers used the sacred allegory as a cloak to mask setting some pretty earthy texts while getting the church to pay for them. Whichever way, the Canticle of Solomon offers rich pickings. Over the next hour, we'll hear settings from the mid-16th to the early 17th centuries, starting with ones by Clemens Nonpapa, Palestrina, Nicholas Gombert and Orlando de Lassus, with the odd moment of plain chant to allow our pulses to settle. Stile Antico's recording of this music won a gramophone award and was nominated for a Grammy, so it's a real treat to hear it live. Let's welcome the 13 members of Stile Antico. Come, my beloved, let us go out into the field, let us lodge in the villages, let us arise early and go into the vineyards, let us see if the vines have flourished, if the flowers have put forth their fruit, if the pomegranate is in bloom. There will I give you my breasts. The unexpurgated words of Veni Delicte Me from Solomon's Song of Songs are set by Orlando de Lassus and performed here at Cadogan Hall in this chamber music prom by Stile Antico. We'll hear another version of the same text by the Spanish priest and composer Sebastián de Vivanco in the second part of the concert, alongside settings by Victoria, Guerrero, Ceballos and Pretorius. But first, to find out more about our performers this lunchtime, I'm joined by two members of the group, bass Oliver Hunt and alto Caris Jones. Thank you for joining me. Oliver, how did the group get together?
Well, a lot of us were friends together while we were at university, and there was a hard core of the group who were at Cambridge at the same time, and many of those people also lived in Oxford. And so it became a reason to get together during the long university holidays and make some fantastic music together and put on a concert, both as a social exercise and also to explore fantastic music.
And Caris, it's quite a family affair in a certain way.
It is very much a family affair. We have three sisters, a married couple. But actually, to be honest, we've all been friends for so long and been working together for so long that sometimes I think the family boundaries get a trifle blurred.
Well, we won't go into that just yet, I think. I'm really interested to know that you choose to work without a conductor. How did that come about?
It's never really been an end in itself, but it's more a means to us exploring this music for ourselves as a group rather than relying on what one person wants to do with it. So we began, as I say, with these long rehearsals in order to explore the music and decide what we want to do as a group. So what you're hearing is the result of 13 brains, 13 sets of ideas, rather than just one conductor's interpretation of the music, which can be quite a drawn-out process, but means that we all have a real investment in the music, and we think brings a real unanimity of intention to what we do.
I was very interested observing your rehearsal this morning to see that each of you takes it in turn to wander out and listen while the others are still singing. It's an extraordinarily democratic process, Caris.
It certainly is. I guess some people would say that it's a trust issue as well, but we have always rehearsed like that, even under the most pressurised concert day situations. It remains really important that everybody gets their say and gets their input heard.
Now, Oliver, I noticed that you were the choreographer earlier on today, so people at home might not realise that between each of the settings, you're rearranging where you stand on stage, and you don't group the voices together.
No, we make sure that we stand not in parts, so that we are always able to see the people we're looking at, because one of the keys for singing without a conductor is eye contact between the people you're singing with. So this means that we're able to get the ensemble, I hope, good. And it also has the wonderful side benefit of adding a real blend to the voices. You're always able to hear every other part around you, and so you're able to balance to each other.
Yes, you save our engineers an awful lot of trouble. They're very grateful downstairs. In the second part of the concert, we're going to hear more Spanish composers. We've already heard Italian and Flemish composers. Although they're all setting the same text, do you think they all bring their own personality to this music?
I think it's really interesting. Most of the Spanish composers featured here were priests as well as composers. And what's interesting is, obviously, the Song of Songs has been treated in a number of different ways. You can take the more devotional approach, you can take the Marian approach, or you can take the slightly more sensuous, secular approach, if you like. And I think what's interesting about the pieces coming up is that each composer, although they're roughly contemporaneous, have made their own mix of those particular needs.
Do you have any favourites?
I think the next piece that we're going to sing, Victoria's Vado Meche Cuibo, is the real emotional heart of this programme. It's the one piece where you really get a sense of the pain of love as well as its many wonders. And so there's a dialogue in this piece between the girl protagonist and her Israelite friends. She has lost her lover and is roaming the city trying to find him, which Victoria brings out in his music in stunningly emotional ways, these harmonic shifts throughout that really describe the torture she is going through.
Well, let's hear it. Oliver Hunt and Karis Jones, thank you very much for joining me. I'll let you rejoin your fellow members of Stile Antico. Thank you.
Thank you. for a warm reception, ladies and gentlemen. We thought that for our proms debut we should sing at least one piece of English music. So this is William Byrd's Miserere Mihi.
Stile Antico, ending with Miserere Mihi by William Byrd. Before it, they sang Tota Pulchra Es by Palestrina. You are altogether beautiful, words which perhaps could sum up this whole concert of Renaissance settings of verses from the Song of Songs. Stile Antico perform without a conductor, and for much of the second half of this concert, they also perform without one of their basses. We hope he's feeling much better, but our thanks too go to the bass who stepped in at the last minute. Such are their powers of non-verbal communication, they managed to summon up an extra singer without saying anything at all. You can tell he's the one wearing the blue check shirt and the jeans, rather than the all black. Well, you can hear this chamber music concert again on Radio 3 at 2 o'clock on Saturday, or for the next 7 days on the BBC iPlayer. Our Proms Chamber Music Series live from Cadogan Hall continues next Monday when pianist Lars Vogt plays works by Janáček and Schubert. That's on Bank Holiday Monday at 1 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock next Monday morning, I'll be presenting the Children's Prom with co-presenter Basil Brush. So after today's concert, I'm tempted to say I'll be going from the sublime to the ridiculous. For now, I'll hand you back to Broadcasting House and Jonathan Swain.
Louise, thank you. Louise Fryer there at London's Cadogan Hall. As for tomorrow's lunchtime concert,
we Radio 3's lunchtime concert live at the Edinburgh International Festival. Every summer, Scotland's capital is host to 3 weeks of the very best in international music, drama and dance. This year, performers from the Americas and the Pacific will be rubbing shoulders with artists from Europe and the UK, including Magdalena Kozina, Melvin Tan and Trio Zimmermann. Our Tuesday concert showcases the talent of pianist Jonathan Biss, who will be playing music by Schumann and Mozart and ending with Beethoven's tempestuous Appassionata Sonata. The lunchtime concert at the Edinburgh International Festival, starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, if you've recently tuned in, welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. You're listening to The Afternoon on 3, following on from the prom repeat this afternoon, a highlight from last year's Aldborough Festival, the Minetti Quartet in string quartets by Haydn and his one-time pupil, Beethoven. Right now, though, back to the BBC Proms for an edited repeat of last Monday's concert. The presenter in the Royal Albert Hall is Andrew McGregor.
A hymn to music and a Russian fairy tale from two great Russian innovators born a decade apart, each trying something new with the works we're about to hear. Alexander Scriabin was 27 when he began his first symphony in 1899, already a phenomenal pianist and successful keyboard composer looking for a new musical language. 10 years later, Igor Stravinsky, an admirer of Scriabin's, wrote the ballet that made him an overnight sensation, The Firebird. And we'll hear the complete work in the second half of this prom, played by the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Valery Gergiev. But while Firebird is a favourite score of Gergiev's, and Stravinsky's influence on 20th century music hardly needs elaborating, Scriabin is still another story, and Gergiev's keen that some of the limelight comes his way for a change.
I think First Symphony is a beautiful work of a genius composer who set for himself unbelievably difficult goals. He wanted to connect with other planets, to hear the sonority of the universe, and to finally compose music which will be maybe heard as a voice of universe.
Valery Gergiev, and some of Scriabin's most exotic ideas and philosophies were still some way ahead when he wrote his first symphony. If you heard Scriabin's Reverie in yesterday's prom, then it seems to have triggered the symphony that came immediately after it, and which begins in an almost identical way, clarinet solo over shimmering strings. But it's already unconventional, this symphony. 6 movements, ending with 2 singers and a chorus, and Scriabin's own words, celebrating music's ability to exalt the human mind and inspire images of the divine. Now, this is being billed as the first prom's performance of Scriabin's Symphony No. 1, which is almost completely true. It's the first complete performance, certainly, but Henry Wood himself programmed the 4th movement alone in concerts in 1916 and 1921. And he also conducted Scriabin's Prometheus when the composer visited London in 1913. And when Scriabin returned here the following year, he seems to have noticed the infection on his upper lip that led to the blood poisoning that ended his life a year later. Some idea of Scriabin's fame and reputation can be gleaned from his funeral, which I've seen described as the most fashionable event in Moscow for years. Valery Gergiev's brought the soloists for tonight's performance with him from the Mariinsky Theatre in St. Petersburg. And we're going to be joined by mezzo Nadezhda Sedyuk and tenor Sergei Skorohodov. And they're joined in their hymn to music in the last movement by the London Symphony Chorus. We're just waiting for the arrival of the London Symphony Orchestra's leader. Here he comes, Roman Simovich. And here come this evening's soloists, mezzo Nadezhda Sedyuk and tenor Sergei Skorohodov. And to conduct them in the Symphony No. 1 in E major by Alexander Scriabin, the LSO's principal conductor, Valery Gergiev.